Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Michelle Lazar, and my registration number is 26835. I am here on behalf of the appellant, Eric Semmel, who is present in court today.
I apologize for mispronouncing your name.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Thank you.
But thank you. Your Honors, the district court found and ruled that Mr. Semmel was required to complete 36 weeks of domestic violence treatment. No more, no less. The state apparently has conceded that point. It is undisputed that Mr. Semmel completed 31 weeks of domestic violence at an agency called Turning Point and another 6 weeks at New Directions. Both of these agencies were approved by the Colorado Standards. It is undisputed that he actually completed 37 weeks of domestic violence treatment. The only question before this court is, did the district court rightly find that the 37 weeks could not be merged together, and therefore he was in violation of his deferred judgment by not completing all 36 weeks at a single agency? Now, the district court found that, made it absolutely clear in this case, that it was 36 weeks that had to be done. In fact, the court stated on the record to clarify that even had Mr. Semmel completed 36 weeks at a single agency and then was unsuccessfully discharged, the court would find that he was in compliance with his deferred judgment because the agreement that he entered into, the contract he had with the state, was that he complete 36 weeks. The Rule 11 itself doesn't even say he has to successfully complete the 36 weeks. It just states he has to do 36 weeks. So, was the court right when it found that, well, because Mr. Semmel didn't complete all 36 weeks at one approved agency, he was in violation? It was not. And it was not right because there is no suggestion in any of the agreement that he signed with the court, any advisement that he received, that he would have to complete all 36 weeks with one single agency. The only thing the court relies on is the wording itself, which says 36 weeks must be completed with a Colorado-approved domestic violence treatment agency. A. This whole case revolves around a single one-letter word, A. And as I illustrated in my brief, that word A was not interpreted correctly by the district court. It doesn't mean one. It just means any approved agency in Colorado. That's what he did. That's what he completed. And why, when you really look at this in the big picture, why would that even be necessary to be having to do it all the way through with one agency? Well, it would be potentially helpful to do it with one agency if there was any evidence in the record that the classes were done sequentially, that they were done in any particular order, that they had assigned topics for each week. There's nothing in the evidence in the record to say that this is how the classes are actually done.
Mrs. Orr, let me interrupt you. I thought the record indicated that there was going to be a recommendation to proceed from one level to another. Isn't that evidence in the record to show that there are differences in the two?
Well, I think that's an interesting point because there was, first of all, I think that really shows that Mr. Semmel was progressing. And that report was written about a week before the complaint to revoke was filed in April of 2011. But to answer your question, this is the confusion of this case, I guess, is that although the court found, and the court found correctly, that the old standards applied, because that's the contract he entered into, and the new standards were not in effect when he entered into his plea. So therefore, under the old standards, it's 36 weeks domestic violence. Now, during this period, the new standards came into place while he was on his deferred, and the probation department clearly was supervising him under those new standards. And that's where you get the different levels of progression. And under the old standards, you don't have those different levels of progression at all. You just have 36 weeks. And the court correctly found that that's all he was bound to was the 36 weeks.
So let me ask you this. Could he have gone to a separate agency for 2 weeks for the entire period? So he would have gone to 18 different agencies, and would he have satisfied his obligation?
I believe that he could. I don't believe that that's what happened in this case. But there's nothing in his agreement that prevented him from doing it that way. And I think even if we concede that point, which we certainly do not concede that point, that he had to do the 36 weeks with one single agency, but even if we were to, The court was still wrong when it violated his deferred because it didn't give him the opportunity to perform. This case was filed, the revocation was filed in June or in the summer of 2011. Mr. Semmel still had over a year left on his deferred judgment to comply. There's no evidence to show that he was some sort of lost cause, that he was just no way to be rehabilitated. The contrary is actually shown. He went to, he completed his community service within 4 months of his probation. After 4 months being placed on his deferred, his community service was done. He was up on all of his court costs and fees. He attended every probation meeting he had scheduled. He took UAs, he never missed one and he never failed one. He went to domestic violence treatment immediately and got his evaluation done. And not only that, but he went for 31 weeks straight, perfect attendance, and only missed one, which was excused, and that he later made up.
Well, Ms. Lazar, let me ask you this, because you're talking about attendance.
Sure.
And the condition was not that he attend a certain number of weeks, it's that he complete it.
Right.
And so does attend and complete have two different meanings?
Well, I think for the purposes of what he entered into, it really is the attendance. And as far as the completion, it is going to all 36 sessions. And he did go to 31 sessions and then he went to an additional six. So that is completing the 36 weeks. I'm not sure if I followed your question.
Well, my thought is, why did the condition of the deferred judgment not say attend if that was the intent of it? And I'll follow that up. Is he attended 31 weeks of a program and then was discharged,
right,
which prompted the filing of the revocation complaint.
Right.
All right. And so would that be an appropriate filing of a complaint if somebody is discharged from a 36-week program before they completed 36 weeks?
Well, I think that they could file a revocation on a case such as this. However, if there is time for a defendant to get into compliance, you know, it wasn't a situation where there was 2 weeks left on his deferred judgment. And therefore, you know, you've tried to do treatment, you've failed out of treatment, and, you know, you've got 2 weeks left, and you have, you know, at least five more weeks to complete, if not a full 36 weeks to complete. Now, if he was in that situation, then I think a revocation would be appropriate because he's not completing, you know, all the 36 weeks that he needs to complete. I mean, in this situation, even if it was 2 weeks prior to his deferred judgment being ended, I think they can give him credit for the 31 weeks and the five and the additional weeks he did at the new directions. But even saying that if they're going to try to revoke somebody for not completing the treatment, but they still have time to complete the treatment, and there isn't evidence shown that that person in particular is incapable of completing the treatment, we would be in a different situation if Mr. Semmel refused to go to treatment. Let's say he never signed up for treatment, or he entered into a treatment agency and lasted 1 week, and then he went to another one and lasted 1 week, and he went to another one and failed to, you know, turn in any assignments, and he wasn't meeting with his probation officer, and he's clearly defiant. Then we'd have a situation where, yeah, we have a problem here.
But Ms. Lazar, didn't we have a problem when he was discharged from two programs for not progressing?
Well, I think that, again, we believe that in total he did what he needed to do. But even if, you know, he did get discharged from two different programs, I think that there is no reason why he couldn't try a third program. The state has argued that, well, you can't have countless opportunities, but they cite no authority for that proposition, and they cite nothing to support that, you know, the number would be one chance, two chances, three chances. I think what the court needs to look at is how much time did he have left to complete what he agreed to complete, and he had certainly a lot of time left. I also think it's important for the court to look at the reason for the discharge. It wasn't lack of attendance, it wasn't lack of participation. He was in class and he was doing things he was supposed to do. They didn't like his attitude. The probation officer didn't feel like he was progressing enough and didn't feel he was accountable, even though his ex-wife, who actually also is present today, testified at that hearing and affirmed that, you know, Mr. Semmel has really vastly improved since he's been doing the treatment. His communication skills have improved. Our relationship has greatly improved. He's utilizing tools he's learned in treatment. I don't know what testimony could be more pervasive than the victim testifying that what he is doing in domestic violence classes is actually helping him. And then the court turning around and saying, sorry, we're violating you, even though you have a year left, and you know, you have a felony conviction now, permanently on your record. And if it's all right with the court, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you, and may it please the court. John Lee on behalf of the people, bar number 38141. The defendant agreed to comply with certain conditions to receive the benefit of deferred judgment. He cannot now change what those conditions required. As our Supreme Court made clear in Adair, the defendant must show that the trial court abused its discretion in revoking his deferred judgment. He hasn't done so. Today, I think the defendant has raised two arguments. First, that he complied with the terms of his deferred judgment, because though he was terminated not from one, but two different programs, if we take that time together, cumulatively, he attended 37 weeks. And second, that the court revoked him prematurely, because they should have waited until such a time as it would have been impossible for him to complete 36 weeks at a program before his deferred judgment ended. Neither of those positions are supported by the language of the condition at issue. It doesn't, simply because, as this court pointed out, the condition did not say that the defendant shall attend 36 weeks of a Colorado certified domestic violence treatment program. To the contrary, the cornerstone of the condition was it said it required complete, it said A, and it ended with program. Turning to the exact condition, what it said was, quote, I shall be ordered to complete 36 weeks of a Colorado certified domestic violence treatment and prevention program. Under the plain language of that term, the defendant was required to complete 36 weeks at a program. Turning briefly to Ms. Lazar's argument that A is an indefinite article, A can be an indefinite article, but applying it in this context just means that the defendant could choose which program he wanted to enroll in, but once he made that choice, he was then required to complete 36 weeks at that program. The undisputed evidence in this case shows the defendant was terminated from the first program after 31 weeks and the second program after 6 weeks. Based on that evidence, the trial court was certainly acted within its discretion in revoking the defendant's deferred judgment and entering sentence.
Mr. Lee, you seem to be imputing the word successfully where you talk about required to complete. I mean, the none of the documents say successfully complete. They simply say complete.
I would disagree that my argument necessarily requires importation of the word successful. Just complete means that you go to 36 classes at the same program. So I think complete means not that the defendant receives a certificate at the end of the 36 weeks, but that it means what it says, that you're required to complete 36 classes at the same program.
So what would happen, for example, if, let's say the agency folded in the middle of this after 18 weeks? What's the defendant to do then?
Well, I think in that case, there would certainly be the argument under the statute, 18.1.3.1022, that the defendant did not breach by his conduct, because that would be something out of his or her control. Should the agency just have folded, certainly then they could at least make the argument that pulling the deferred in that instance would be inappropriate. Also, under the statute, the people have the control of whether or not to file a revocation motion. So, like in this case where, although the defendant was terminated due to his own cause, he was given a second chance. So I'd assume in that instance, should that happen, the people would afford that defendant an additional chance to comply with the program when it wasn't his or her fault.
So the other thing is, you're saying that it wasn't revoked prematurely, but I'm not sure that you've discussed that.
Absolutely. I guess the issue is, the defendant's argument, as I understand it, is before the people could file a motion to revoke and before the court could grant it, we would have had to present evidence that there could be no way that the defendant could cure his or her breach, that the time had passed so far that there would be no way that the defendant could complete 36 weeks at a program, regardless of how many tries he had before we got to that point. And the problem with that argument is it's absolutely incompatible with statutory language and this court's cases. If you look at 18.1.3.1022, it provides that a court must revoke upon proof of the breach. It doesn't say that the people have to prove a breach and that the defendant has absolutely no ability to cure that breach. It says, upon proof of a breach, must revoke. And it says it's proven by preponderance of the evidence. So under the statutory language, there's no support for that argument that the people have to create this more onerous standard of showing some, the heavy burden of showing that under no circumstances could the defendant cure his breach. They're two completely separate issues. Second, I just point to the court's cases that we cited in our brief. If you look at Howell and you look at Manzanares, the issue is always whether or not the trial court abused its discretion. Is there any support for the court's finding that the defendant breached his or her deferred judgment conditions? In this case, the evidence is undisputed that the defendant breached, not once, but twice. Failed to complete 36 weeks out of program after having been given two tries. So based on that evidence, I think there can be no doubt that the evidence sufficiently supports the trial court's judgment in this case. If there are no other questions, I thank the court for their time and would ask to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our position is that Mr. Semmel could not be found to have breached until it is shown that he can't perform what he was required to perform. And as I stated earlier, if there was evidence that he would is completely incapable of performing and completing domestic violence treatment, then it could be appropriate for the court to found that he has breached the agreement. That is not the case in this situation. This was a subjective decision by the probation department to revoke him. And I think it's important to look at the record and where the probation department failed in their duties and obligations, because the probation department wasn't in compliance as is shown by the revocation hearing. He never even looked at the Rule 11 that Mr. Semmel signed, the agreement that was between him and the court. He didn't even review it. He had no idea what Mr. Semmel's obligations were under that agreement. He didn't create a treatment plan. There's supposed to be a treatment plan in writing that the probation officer apparently had no recollection of. There was nothing in the record to show that that was ever completed. So basically, he was being terminated based on a probation officer's decision that in his mind, Mr. Semmel wasn't accountable. That is a completely subjective standard. It's arbitrary and it's vague. And that is unfair because Mr. Semmel didn't have notice of what that standard was going to be and how he had to fulfill it. And it's also interesting to note that in the record, when there was talk about Mr. Semmel taking accountability, the probation officer basically said, I don't buy it. So according to the probation officer's stringent standards regarding accountability, a defendant has to take responsibility and affirm every statement that's in a police report. That's what the record is in this case as to the probation officer's standard of accountability. That is not even supported by the Domestic Violence Management Board standards itself, that high of a standard. But that's the standard that Mr. Semmel was under with probation. And that is unfair, and it's a violation of his due process. I think that his failure to complete two programs doesn't mean that he couldn't comply or couldn't pass another program. It's just not. I mean, maybe it wasn't a right fit, maybe it wasn't the right treatment provider, but he should have the opportunity to perform under this contract he made. The result is very harmful to him. Having a felony conviction permanently on your record is a huge detriment to finding gainful employment, for him to provide for his family, to him to provide for his children. It was not just what occurred to Mr. Semmel. He was trying to comply. He complied with all the other conditions. He wasn't being defiant or trying to avoid the court. In fact, after he got revoked for him, terminated from the first program, he didn't just give up. He went straight back to probation. He met with his probation officer immediately afterward and signed up for a new program. This is somebody who is trying. And as I stated in my first argument, the victim, the most important person in this case, sees the improvement, has testified in court under oath that she feels that he's getting something from this treatment. This isn't the purpose of our domestic violence laws, to revoke somebody the way that Mr. Semmel was revoked. And I ask that this court find that the court erred, the district court erred, when it did revoke Mr. Semmel's deferred judgment. And I ask you to reinstate his deferred and withdraw his felony conviction and actually just close this case. Thank you.
Thank you both for your arguments this afternoon. The case will stand submitted. We will get you in a written opinion in due course. That completes our docket for the afternoon. Court will be in recess, and the bailiff may sign out.